Welcome to a Wednesday edition of Locked On Heat. On today's show, another night and another loss. The Heat fall to the Nets, 104-92. And, you know, just forget it. I'm not doing this whole thing. You get it. Let's just go to the show.
You are Locked On Heat, your daily Miami Heat podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team every day.
All right, let's do this. Welcome to Locked On Heat, your daily Miami Heat podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, the only podcast that still talks about the Miami Heat every single day. My name is Wes Goldberg, and I'm here with David Ramil, and we are excited to do this. Yet another disappointing loss to the Nets. The Heat have dropped six of their last seven games. Tonight was easily one of the more discomforting nights of the season, with the Heat rolling out mismatched lineups, making just 36 of 100 shots and putting up only 92 points against a Brooklyn team that averages 111 points allowed this season. If that wasn't enough to make you nauseous, well, the Heat now have the same record as the Washington Wizards, who have spent the majority of the season throwing up on themselves. David, besides the fact that this feels like the billionth time that we've lost to the Nets, I don't know if I could do the whole recap thing tonight. Is there anything from the game that you want to talk about, or should we just jump ahead to the part where we wallow in self-pity and complain about Hassan Whiteside?
I kind of like James Johnson's hair, to be honest with you. I mean, that's my big takeaway from the night. I think, the relaxed hair was a good look for him. Very frightening and interesting and imposing. Just wasn't enough to scare. Who had a better hairstyle going, him or Jared Allen of the Nets?
I give Jared Allen points for consistency. That's just, it's been his look.
Good point.
Since he's entered the league, and James Johnson is just like, I don't know. I don't like the afro, to be honest. Like, he looks a little overweight right now. This isn't like just got to the Heat, lost, 30 pounds James Johnson. I understand that he's been out of shape because of the hernia injury, but I feel like the circular lump on his head of hair with that afro just makes him look a little bit more bulbous.
Okay. I see where you're going with it. Yeah, no, maybe it's the Heat season writ large in hair. I mean, that makes sense. Things have fallen apart a little bit and he's let himself go. So yeah, as far as the game itself is concerned, look, there were a lot of, let's say, interesting rotations because I don't know exactly what's going on. Obviously, Goran Dragic, having had his knee drained earlier in this week, is out of the lineup for a few games. Dwayne Wade just came back after several days to celebrate the birth of his daughter. James, as you said, was returning into form after missing the whole start of the season from hernia surgery and during the offseason. So there's a lot of issues going on, but Kelly Olynyk was out or didn't play, even
didn't
though he
play.
Was listed as active.
And Eric Spoelstra, after the game, when reporters obviously, Olynyk not getting a single minute was weird. Right. And like this, he played only 8 minutes against the Lakers on Sunday, didn't get into the game at all tonight. And reporters after the game asked Spoelstra about it. And I was expecting like mysterious injury, pulled a hammy right before the game during warm-up, something like that. Just said, no, there just wasn't room for him with James Johnson coming back. And it's just what? That didn't make any sense to me. Like they're basically Olynyk's in the doghouse. Right. That's the only logical takeaway here.
No, I disagree with that, too. I think it's not a doghouse. I think one thing that you've been suggesting lately, and I think there is the possibility that the tank is actively taking place. A soft tank, maybe not, something so egregious where it's immediately noticeable that this team is tanking the season away, but they're not playing players that can play and make solid contributions. They're leaving Hassan Whiteside out on the floor for too long. He's putting up these gaudy numbers against the Nets, despite looking largely ineffective for most of the game. Players that I think are healthy enough to play, like, I don't know for certain, but they've held out players for long stretches. They're holding them out when they're active and available. It doesn't make any sense. None of this does. Unfortunately, I think they've realized that this team isn't capable of competing at a high level. Maybe they had hoped that they were showcasing enough young players early on to translate that into the acquisition of a star when the Jimmy Butler deal fell through. It's time to move on to plan B, and plan B should have been tanking. Maybe that's something that should have happened years ago.
I can't believe what I'm hearing from you. I thought I was depressed making bad wire comparisons, but now you're even getting on the tank train now. Look, I just The other option I thought about was, are they holding out Olynyk because they're trying to trade him and they don't want him to get hurt? Maybe, I don't know. I don't know how much of it is a soft tank. I don't know how much of it is really even a conspiracy theory, but it is really strange where you roll out a lineup with Derek Jones Jr. in the starting lineup. And look, I like Derek Jones Jr., but he hasn't shown anybody nearly enough to warrant a starting role in this season. I get it. Like, if he were sort of that weird, like, placeholder starter that Spo likes to go with, it didn't feel like that. Because if that were the case, maybe we would have seen Olynyk come off the bench. Justice Winslow, who had the starting job, was the 10th guy in the rotation. And the Heat went 10 deep in the first quarter. And to me, look, this is a Heat team that has dealt with injuries within its current iteration, and we're used to that. We expect it, even. You know, as deep as this team is, we're never going to have all of the guys healthy at one time. Not with this team. But usually the sideline was at least a place of joy and excitement and support. You know, players just supporting each other. I didn't see any of that from the sideline tonight. It was dead. It was depressed. And that's maybe why I'm coming off feeling like this. Like, that hashtag culture just wasn't there tonight. And this team just looks broken. Like, they're not supporting one another. They're getting frustrated on the court. They're not involved off on the sideline at all. And I just don't know. Like, it is crazy to me that this team that is all about the continuity and development is just, it just feels like this. It feels worse than it ever has, this group of guys.
You know, I can't look at the team's depth as the problem here, to be honest with you, because it just so happened that I was at Shoot Around this morning covering the Toronto Raptors in Orlando, and that's the flip side to the Heat's current problems. You know, Toronto played against in a 2-point win over Orlando tonight. They played 9 different players, and that's without OG Anunoby, without CJ Miles, and I'm missing somebody else. I can't remember exactly. Greg Monroe didn't play. Not that he's a consistent, you know, player at this point in his career, but again, they could have gone 11 deep, 12 deep perhaps, and it wouldn't have been an issue. Nobody on their starting lineup played more than 34 minutes, and that's in a very, very close game against the Orlando Magic, the surprisingly good Orlando Magic. Conversely, Miami, you know, went 11 deep. Am I right here? No, 10 deep. They went 10 deep.
10 deep.
And they still played 39 minutes for Josh Richardson, 36 minutes for Roddy Magruder. I mean, 23 minutes for James Johnson off the bench. This is a lot of minutes for guys that probably aren't playing
at
pretty high
level.
Was it
weird that Justice Winslow barely played in the second half? Like, that seemed
weird
to me.
Again, this is what I'm thinking. Yeah, this is what I'm talking about. I mean, he played very effectively, and then all of a sudden, he just didn't get any playing time. Bam Adebayo, similarly.
You think, but like that, so if they are doing this whole soft tank thing, and I'm still not all the way there. I haven't seen any. I feel like if the Heat were going to tank, it would be more obvious than this. There would be trades happening and selling off of assets. Like, if they're just...
They looked into that, though. They did look into that. I mean, it's not like this is...
They didn't look
like
into it. How did they look into that?
Into trades? I mean, they've been shopping everybody
all
summer
long.
Well,
for stars like Jimmy Butler. I'm talking about, like, selling off assets, not, like, trying to get Jimmy Butler. Like,
Who's going to take our assets? Who's going to take Hassan Whiteside or Tyler Johnson or players like that are bogging this roster down?
I don't know, but we haven't even heard rumors of them shopping. Like the Wizards, who we have the same record as right now, they're out there in the media saying these guys are on the block. Like, we haven't even heard any of that, you know?
And that's just different. I think that's different. I think that's a cultural thing about Miami that they don't tend to release news like that. The Jimmy Butler, you know, their involvement in the Jimmy Butler trade or, you know, the sweepstakes, if you will, it was an aberration, I think. A leak purposely done to generate more.
It might have been more done on the Minnesota side, too, and Jimmy Butler's agent and stuff like that. But here's the thing. If they are trying to tank, don't not play Bam Adebayo and Justice Winslow. Like, if you are tanking, part of tanking is also developing young guys. That's why I'm not completely sold on the idea that they are just tanking, because it doesn't make sense, like, to do it that way. Like, to play Duncan Robinson, who's on a two-way deal, and Derek Jones a bunch of minutes, like, what's the point of that? Like, do we really, like, maybe those guys pop and break out and become contributors, but more likely than not, they're not going to do that. They're going to be deep rotation pieces on any team in the NBA. And so if you're trying to do, if you're trying to tank, the idea is that you're building towards something in the future, then get more run for Bam and Winslow. And there was a moment in that second quarter where Bam, Winslow, and Richardson were on the court together, and the Heat outscored the Nets in that quarter, I think, 29-19, I believe. Did I get that right? Yeah, 29-19. And it's just like, all right, just do that then. Like, I don't think that they're going to win the game anyway.
Though. Maybe that's too obvious. I don't know. I don't know. Nobody has any insight here. Yeah. I mean, the Heat front office isn't going to reveal a plan if there is a plan in place. And maybe that's the case, is that there's finally a plan to move on from this roster, this iteration of the roster, because it's disappointing to say the least. You know, the fact that they are playing guys like Duncan Robinson, I think, probably helps promote that idea that they are tanking, because, I mean, he's just not ready. He's not at the NBA level just yet.
Yeah.
And so you're hoping to see, you know, maybe he is a future asset, somebody worth considering in the long run. Look, my overall take from this, I can't believe Dwayne Wade re-signed for one last year with him and Udonis Haslam. This is not the one last dance that he envisioned, I think.
Luckily for him, he's only a part-time employee right now, it feels like. So, look, let's keep talking about this stuff and sort of maybe what this tank might look like in the next couple of weeks. But let's take a quick break here. All right, we'll get to some Twitter questions next. We got a bunch from you guys, and we do appreciate that. And we appreciate everybody who's actually listening to this thing after a loss. I know. It's more fun to listen to these post-game pods after a win, but we appreciate everybody who's stuck around and, of course, subscribes and continues to support the show. But, look, if the tank is on, and I'm not sure it is, I do get the sense that Spo might have just been grasping for straws and experimenting tonight. And maybe that's the case, maybe it's not. But either way, you hinted at it earlier, David, it is time to end this era of the Heat. It is time to trade whoever you can, embrace the tank, and just start watching a bunch of college basketball, right?
It's still a hard place for me to get to, because I'm not sure that you're going to get to that point. I think you can clear the roster and still fill it eventually with NBA veterans that are capable of growth and development internally, rather than sinking any kind of assets or development into like collegiate players that I think are still too raw. Like, I don't know. Like, unless you're going to get the top pick in the draft or the top five picks in the draft and somewhere in the top five.
That's what we're talking about. Go get a top five pick. That's what I'm talking about. And right now the Heat are that bad.
Are they? I don't know. I don't see that.
Let's talk about that, because I was looking at a bunch of numbers and I was trying to find reasons to be optimistic going into this game. Yeah. And Miami, opponents are just hitting a bunch of threes against the Heat. And I think that there's going to be a point where that regresses. Now, are they giving up a bunch of open shots? Yeah, but it's not to the extent that teams are making them against Miami. So I thought they'd regress, but the Nets didn't make hardly any threes tonight. They were 8 of 31 from three-point range. Miami just can't score, and they can't play defense consistently. And again, it is crazy to me how this team can make shots on offense and then give up points in transition on defense. I mean, that is like Cleveland Cavaliers level defense. It's bad. And I think this team, based on what it is one of the worst teams in the league. I think that this team is if it didn't even try to tank, would end up with a lottery pick easily. Probably a top 10 pick. And if they were smart, they would say, all right, well, instead of ending up with 9 or 10, let's just lose a few more games and end up with a top 5 pick and try to get one of these kids out of Duke.
I'm trying to put my finger on exactly, look, you hinted at a number of things that they're doing badly. I still can't see this team as being this bad. Like, the fact that they're playing badly and whether or not they are bad seem to me like they just don't equate. You know what I'm saying? Like, I look at this roster.
But how relevant even is that, though? Like, if it's a dead end, should you just sort of like, what's the difference between this? Like, what's the difference between winning 30 games and 40 games? Like, really? Like, this team's not making the playoffs. Like, this is a dead end team.
See, I'm still not convinced of that either, though, because as much as I think that they're playing very badly right now, I also wouldn't be greatly surprised if they rattled off 10 wins out of their next 15 games either, you know?
I would be shocked.
Would you really? I mean, if things cool, look, Goron comes back.
This team sucks.
James Johnson finds that spark, and all of a sudden, this team starts playing like Hassan has a reduced role.
Goron comes back to what though? Because that 30-11 team is long gone. Like all these guys are 2 years older. Goran Dragic is not that good anymore.
No, come on, get out
like,
of here.
He, come on, he can't. His scoring numbers are way down. He can't finish around the rim. He doesn't have that explosiveness to drive and kick the way he used to. And he just hasn't really done it a whole lot. Like this, he is, at this point, a backup point guard on a good team. And he's unfortunately Miami's starting point guard. Like, I don't think Dragic is that good anymore. And he's getting destroyed defensively this season, which we haven't talked a lot about.
I don't know. I mean, I have to rewatch it. I know maybe the numbers bear that in mind, but I haven't seen enough of it to really confirm or deny that. I feel he's committed the best years of his career, or some of the best years of his career, to being on this team, and he had expected this to be a very different version of the Heat, unless he's seeking a trade, and I don't think he is, because I think he and his wife and family are comfortable in South Florida after having spent years traveling between Phoenix and Houston. I think this is his home now, and he's finally at ease here. I don't know that he wants to pack up and uproot.
But it's not like he has a no-trade clause.
No, I understand that, but I still feel like from the franchise's standpoint, they shouldn't do him dirty that way. Like, I understand that maybe...
Would it be doing him dirty, though? If they were to trade... Like, I'm not talking about trading him to Phoenix, right? Like, there are teams that could use Goran Dragic. Like, Denver would be a great fit, and Dragic would love playing with guys like Jokic and Murray. Like, what if you traded him there, or you traded him to somewhere like he actually wanted to be? Like,
again, this is maybe the intricacies of a general manager or a front office. Somebody needs to talk to Goran and his agent and sit down and say, look, do you want to be part of this group any longer? And if the answer from Goran and his camp is, no, I'm ready to move on, then absolutely you start entertaining whatever offers you can.
I think you got to trade him either way. I'm sorry. Maybe I'm cold-blooded and I'm just like...
You absolutely are.
Maybe, but it's like... You know, Boston traded Isaiah Thomas after he had an MVP caliber season, and the city fell in love with him, and they traded him as soon as Kyrie Irving became.
And look at them now. They're struggling.
And they're title contenders. Oh, come on. they have a, like, whose roster would you take? Miami's or Boston's? It's not even a question. Like, you would take that Celtics situation in a heartbeat over what the Heat have right now. The other part of this is, if the Heat are going to tank, can you freaking trade Whiteside? I know we keep talking about that, or wave and stretch Whiteside or whatever, because if the Heat are going to tank, I'm okay with the Heat losing. I just don't want to watch Whiteside put up 21 shots a night the way he did against the Nets. I can't do that and have this team tank. Like, just tank in a developmental sort of way.
Yes.
Don't tank in Whiteside becoming the center version of Carmelo Anthony.
No, yeah, absolutely. Like, I'd rather watch Derrick Jones playing center over Hassan Whiteside at this point.
And I have a gripe to pick with the Heat broadcast. Don't talk to me about this double-double, the 20 points and 20 rebound double-double crap anymore. Like, if Whiteside is putting 21 points up on 21 shots, and he's shot-putting things at the rim and getting outplayed and outclassed by Jared Allen for 48 minutes, don't talk to me about Whiteside's double-doubles. I don't want to hear about it. Empty calories. Empty calories. Did he have 23 rebounds? Yeah. But the Heat missed 64 shots tonight. He better have had 23 rebounds.
Yeah, that's a good point. Look, I think you have to understand that John Crotty and Eric Reed have to do what they can.
They have a job to do. Yeah.
Look, they privately, they're probably looking at this team and going, man, they suck. But at the same time, publicly, and especially over the course of the broadcast, I don't think they could be that blatant about how bad this team might be. So... Yeah, I understand it's hard to listen to, and believe me.
But take the stats off the thing. I don't want to see it on the broadcast. Like, don't put the graphic up with how great Whiteside has been. Or at least when you put the graphic up, like, don't, like, when you put the 21 points up there, please also mention that he was like 9 of 21. Like, just put that on there, too. Let's get to some Twitter questions after this break. All right, thanks to everybody who sent in the Twitter questions using the hashtag AskLOHeat. This first one comes from Kevin, who asks, is the subtle tank real or just a silly conspiracy theory? David, we sort of talked about this at the top of the show. Let's 30 seconds on this. Real or conspiracy theory?
I think it's real. I think this team is too proudful. Again, I think they were kind of gauging how good this team could be right out the gates, whether or not that continuity they had preached was a real thing and whether or not this would translate into immediate winning. It didn't. And so now they're kind of just softly tanking.
I think that they've got a toe in the water of what a tank would look like. And I do think that the tank is coming. I don't know if this is the subtle tank, but I do think that this team, this front office, they are exploring the idea of it. They are well aware of the prospects that are out there and the idea that they can get one of them. And so I think that they've got a toe in the water, and I think a tank, a not so subtle tank, is coming sooner rather than later. This next question comes from Kyle, who asks, considering Ronnie Magruder and Wayne Ellington are likely gone this year and could have some value, do you think we could use them as sweeteners to get off a bad contract or two? David, I think that you could use maybe Magruder to get off of a bad contract, possibly, but not like, I'm not talking about Whiteside or Tyler Johnson. Maybe like an Olynyk or even a James Johnson. You pair those guys with Magruder. Like other good players that are maybe a little bit are getting paid just slightly too much. You lump Magruder on there and you make it kind of even that way. Ellington, he's an expiring deal. I don't know that because of the money, if you put him on top of, he's making $8 million. You put him on top of one of these worst contracts. That's a lot of money to take back in salary for cap matching purposes. So I just don't think I don't think that technically it would work, but I do think you could sell off Ellington for a second rounder or maybe a late first round draft pick.
That sounds fair. I mean, I think that's the logistic way of looking at that. Obviously, they're playing well. Well, at least Magruder's playing well, and mm-hmm. Ellington, you expect that shooting to round back into form at some point soon. And if you're going to engage in the idea of tanking and selling out these assets as soon as possible, then you have to find whatever value you can from. I'm not sure that you can attach, like you said, a bigger contract there. I'm not sure if somebody would be willing. Maybe I'd like to see this. Waiters and Ellington going back home. Both of them are from the Philadelphia mm-hmm. area, so it would make a lot of sense for them both to be sent to the 76ers, perhaps, in exchange for I don't even know what.
I have a Sixers fake trade for you. I was doing this earlier.
Let's hear it.
Ellington and James Johnson, who would be a nice fit in Philadelphia, both of them, for Wilson Chandler's expiring contract.
Okay.
And Markelle Fultz.
Yes.
Yeah. I think the Heat would do it in a second, and I would even with all the weird stuff that came out today with him seeing a specialist on all that, I would probably do it anyway because that Fultz contract you can get out from under within the next couple of years. So I would probably do that.
Yeah, at this point, I'm hearing a lot of, I think 76ers fans are frustrated. I think you're going to start to see them turning against Markelle the same way Spurs fans turned against Kawhi Leonard. Now that his lawyer, Markelle Fultz's mm-hmm. lawyer, is apparently involved. And, I feel like the pressure of being the number one overall pick has gotten into his head. I feel that he is injured. I think that he's also, just really psyched out at this point. And there's a lot of pressure for him. So I think with a culture in place like Miami's, if you can just put him on the back burner, let him recover from whatever the injury might be, and then kind of just work him slowly back into a key role player, I think he could turn into something special down the road. But there wouldn't be any pressure for him to do so here in Miami right away. So I think it makes a lot of sense. And I think from Philadelphia's perspective, they're all in now with Jimmy. Mm-hmm. The acquisition of Jimmy Butler was probably the first of other steps to kind of key in and become a legitimate title contender this year. Yep. And so if that's the case, Wilson Chandler isn't necessarily a part of that, and neither is Markelle Fultz at this point.
Yeah, James Johnson's definitely an upgrade over Wilson Chandler, too, and Ellington can help that team. Last one, yeah. Billy writes in, I apologize. I turned on the game because we were still winning, and they blew it. I say no more Vice Knights. The jerseys look dope, but Miami sucked in them last year, and they do this year. Bring back the military jerseys. They did much better in those. First of all, Billy, look. Don't apologize, man. This isn't your fault. It's all Hassan Whiteside. Just if you need to blame anybody, blame Whiteside. It's kind of what we do here. Billy, you send in enough questions. I think you've built up enough good karma. But the answer is not to bring back. Like, if this team is going to suck, please just... I'm okay with them looking dope when they suck. Like, but don't... Like, the military jerseys aren't going to fix things.
No, they'll make things worse. I mean, that'll just be... I feel like that 11 and 30 start, a lot of that had to do with the military uniforms, too. Mm-hmm. Like, weren't they trotted out that year? No, maybe the year before. But either way, it was just a lot of ugly nights on the floor and from a fashion perspective as well. So, do you want to see the Vice jersey suspended now, since they keep losing in them?
No. It has nothing to do with them. It just, like... I, as much as I think maybe we pin too much of the blame on Whiteside, there is at least some that's at least like based in fact, and the Vice Knights jerseys are too cool, and you can't get rid of them. You can't get rid of them. I mean, it is kind of sad that they look so cool while they play so badly. Like, that kind of sucks. Yeah. But
yeah, I just don't want them having like this stink attached to them that they can't ever shake off or wash off.
I think that maybe is only with the home crowd that pays attention to this sort of stuff. So basically us and our listeners. but I think most of the NBA and the world appreciates the Vice jerseys. So keep them coming.
You know, I don't like them, actually.
You don't like them?
I don't.
Okay, we're ending the podcast there. Like, you don't get to explain that. That's all we have for today. Thank you for listening and subscribing on iTunes, Google Play, Spotify, or whatever you use to listen. As always, you can reach us by sending an email to lockedonheat@gmail.com or on Twitter by using the hashtag AskLOHeat. Music is courtesy of Mojave Wild. We'll catch you next time. Thanks for joining me, David.
You got it, Wes.